Welcome to Season 2 of the Give Yourself the Chat podcast. My name is Peter Lewis and I'll be your host on the show that's dedicated to helping you find the inner strength and disciplined habits to live a life of high performance. So in today's podcast episode, I want to talk about conventional wisdom and how conventional wisdom really is the route to a mediocre life. And so I say screw conventional wisdom. And the example I want to give in this episode is one of my passions in life is competing in Ironman triathlon. So much my identity is linked to Ironman triathlon. And I've been doing it now since 2005. My first Ironman was 2005. I got into the sport of triathlon in 2001. And it was a natural sport for me to gravitate towards because I'd always been involved in keeping fit and active and healthy. I was a mediocre swimmer. I could run. We've all ridden a bike at some point. And so I was introduced in 2001, back in the day where you used to race in crop tops and speedos and funky technology on bikes. And thankfully, all that has moved on at pace. And I got into my first Ironman in 2005 in Sherborne here in the United Kingdom, when the first Ironman, the first branded Ironman event was put on. And back then in 2005, there weren't many long course triathlons in UK. There were Europe and America. Contrast now, fast forward to time of recording. So it came out for mid-2024. And there is a huge supply and demand for long course triathlon. So very quickly, an Ironman triathlon is a swim, bike, run, like all triathlons are. But Ironman is a 2.4 mile swim or 3.8 kilometer. It is a 112 mile bike ride or 180 kilometers, followed up by a marathon run, which is 42 kilometers or 26.2 miles. So it's a long, long day. Now, conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom might say, don't do an Ironman full stop. But I'm a bit beyond that now. I've done 25 single Ironman races since 2005. I've also done a double Ironman as well. But it's less about, this episode is less about my stupidity in that regard or the number of medals or anything else like that. You know, I do pretty well in my age group, but I'm not on the podium and I'm not setting the world alight, but I'm not coming last either. I just really enjoy it. And as I said, so much of my identity is wrapped up in what Ironman stands for in terms of the discipline to pursue goals, the wanting to get better and really sort of pushing myself. And if there's anything that embodies Give Yourself the Chat, it's Ironman Triathlon, because first of all, that's where the name of this podcast actually came from. I've told this story before, but I'll quickly tell it again. It was Ironman UK in Bolton a few years back. And I was feeling very sorry for myself, wanted to give up, which is not unusual to experience during an Ironman, of course, but I really did feel at a low ebb. And I was in one of those temporary toilets, the port-a-loos, and I gave myself a bit of a talking to. I said to myself, right, I'm going to enter out here. I'm going to zip up my triathlon suit. I'm going to exit this toilet and I'm going to complete this race. And so when I regaled this tale to a friend, they said, oh, you just gave yourself the chat. So Ironman is very much the genesis of this podcast and what this podcast stands for, which is sort of dedicated to high performance living and pushing ourselves beyond our limits, but how we play the mental game in order to do that. So back to this episode, screw conventional wisdom. So last year, I was lining up my race calendar for this year. I was going to do two, possibly three events. And as it turns out, I entered three events. Ironman Texas, late April. So I've just done that. Ironman Switzerland in early July, and then, which is yet to come. And then at the back end of the season, mid-September, Ironman Italy. Now, three Ironman races in one season. That ain't conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom would say one, maybe two, and spread those two apart. So I've picked three. So already I'm defying conventional wisdom, but I've done three in a season before. I did that in 2023, but prior to 2023, the most I'd done in a season was two Ironman events, and they were pretty spread apart. This year was Ironman Texas, and then 8 weeks later, Switzerland, then 8 weeks later again, it was going to be Italy. Great. So Ironman Texas went well. I won't go too much into the race there, but it was very hot and humid, something I didn't really expect in Texas in late April. Kind of thinking it might be similar to UK in late April. It turns out it was 29 degrees and very humid. It's also, I found out that Texas is one of the windiest states in the United States. So the bike route, which was a particularly uninspiring course that went parallel with an interstate, it was on a toll road next to an interstate. We cycled out for 33 kilometers, cycled back 33 kilometers, and then out again, and then back, and then a few other loops to make up the 180 kilometer distance. Those downward legs on the interstate were in the most brutally strong headwind, and so really kind of tough conditions. Anyway, I complete the race. And my priorities for racing are always complete the race. The second priority is always to enjoy the experience. And the third priority is to get a good time if I can. And it's always in that order, because I think there's so much that can go wrong in a long day's worth of ultra endurance events that, first of all, mission one has to be to complete it. So, yeah, tick that one off. Did I enjoy it? Yeah, I enjoyed them all. I enjoyed them all more in hindsight than I do during the actual time. But there's an enormous sense of satisfaction of passing the finish tape and crossing the line, getting your medal and being called an Ironman for the 20-odd time. That never gets old, actually. And then the third thing, did I do a good time? Well, I did 11 hours 30 or something like that. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. Sub 12 hours, which, yeah, is very good for an age grouper. I'd like to have gone faster, but I think given the conditions and the heat and trying to keep my core temperature down, that was a pretty good result. Now, okay, so I've done my Ironman. That was on a Saturday, and then on the Monday I was flying home. And in the check-in queue for the airport, I was feeling pretty good. And I was surrounded by lots of triathletes traveling home, and everyone was really kind of buzzing. And I thought, my mate Rob is doing Ironman Lanzarote in 3 weeks' time. And I'd promised to go out to Lanzarote and support him. And I said I'd bring a bike out to go and spin the legs out. But I definitely wasn't entering at all. No plan whatsoever. But on the Monday in the check-in queue, 2 days after Ironman Texas, I thought to myself, feel okay now. I'll probably feel even better in 3 weeks' time. The thought of watching my mate do an Ironman, I know what I'm going to think. I'm going to think, I should be there. I could be doing this. Why didn't I enter? So within another 24 hours of getting home from Texas, I entered Ironman Lanzarote, which was going to be 3 weeks later. Now, conventional wisdom says don't do anything competitively for at least 6 weeks. And really, 6 weeks is too soon. You should really be thinking 8, 10, 12 weeks at all if you're going to do two Ironman races in a season. Here I was contemplating and had just entered Ironman Lanzarote, my fourth race for the season. Not a good idea? Well, conventional wisdom would say, no, that's not a good idea. But I've just come back from Lanzarote, so we're now sort of 3 weeks on from Texas, and I'm recording this, and I feel a little bit tired. I'm perpetually hungry, but I feel okay. My body has stood up to it. I've got no injuries, no blisters. I'm not limping. I'm not, you know, struggling to sleep. I'm good on all cylinders. I went for a swim this morning. Feel fine. I feel amazing. Now, I know next week I'll probably feel really tired and it'll hit me like a ton of bricks. But conventional wisdom says don't do it. And yet all the signs and indications for me are, well, that was great. I had a great race in Lanzarote. I did an hour better than I did last time I raced there. And I was 9 years younger. I had a great swim. I had a great bike. I had a great run. It was warm. And the after effects seemed good. So it just got me thinking about this idea of conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom says don't do it. But who is telling us not to do these things? If I was being told by someone who had done four Ironman races in the season and had put the fourth one in there only 3 weeks after their first one, and they said to me, Peter, don't even try that, I did it and it absolutely broke me, then perhaps I might take a little bit of notice. But generally speaking, the people around me know me, none of them were surprised I entered, but chat to any sort of Ironman coach or any triathlete, and they'll say, oh, no, that's a ridiculous idea. Don't do that. But here's the thing. Here's what I'd like to reflect upon is that most people that say, no, you shouldn't be doing this or you should be doing that, are not qualified to tell you that because they've never tried that thing. Most people think it's a bad idea because just on paper, it looks tough, it looks challenging. But how many people have actually done the thing you're contemplating to be able to advise you to say that's a good or a bad idea? Not many people at all. So screw conventional wisdom, because the people that are providing that conventional wisdom generally haven't been there. And even if they have been there, their conditions and their situation is different to your own. So you've always got to make your own mind up here, but our mind is influenced by conventional wisdom. So there's not many people that would, one, entertain the idea of 3 Ironman in 1 year. And there's even less that would say, I'm entered for 3 Ironman, I'm going to squeeze a 4th one in. And by the way, that's going to be 3 weeks after a previous one. Not many people would do that. But there are people like me that will do that, and I'm not special. And the way I look at it is, well, okay, I'm doing a 4th Ironman, and it's only 3 weeks after an event. But there's people out there that have just run the length of Africa. There's people out there that have done Decca Ironman, 10 back to back to back. There's people out there, Iron Cowboy, that's done 150 odd in 150 days. And there's somebody that broke that record as well. And his name escapes me, I'm sorry to say. But there are people out there that have done things that are way off the charts, what I'm contemplating. So why am I limiting myself and my thinking to what others may perceive good or bad idea? But even if it wasn't to do with others, why am I limiting my thinking when, if I compare it to what's gone before, people have done way off the charts of that, and they've got the same faculties as me? So it just got me thinking about this idea of conventional wisdom, and part of the how you give yourself the chat is to challenge yourself and say, well, why should that be true for me? And it's not just Ironman. I've experienced this recently with my investing as well. And like most of us, I try to save hard and I try to invest my money to make it grow, because in this economic climate, we've got to try and prepare our futures as best we can. And the economic system is so broken that we've all had to become sort of amateur money managers and manage our ISAs and our pension portfolios and shares and all that kind of thing. And I used to take the conventional wisdom that we need to invest and you need to diversify your portfolio. Now, by the way, this is not financial advice. This is just a reflection of how conventional wisdom works. Conventional wisdom in investing says you diversify your product portfolio. So if one area is doing badly, then another area will be doing well. And, you know, you kind of play it safe. Well, I did some reading recently and somebody challenged this idea. And the idea was, well, why would you follow that conventional wisdom? Because if you think about a diversified portfolio, some of it's up and some of it's down, but net is probably zero or net, slightly net positive or slightly net negative. Well, you're not going to have a comfortable retirement playing it safe like that. But most of us want to play it safe, particularly when it comes to money, of course. We want to play it safe. We don't want to risk it. We have to do some kind of risk to have the future that we want. If I want a really comfortable financial future, I have to take some risks now. Now, these risks aren't just gambles. You know, you investigate your market and the asset you want to invest in. So again, this is not financial advice. But if you are really sure on a particular investment strategy, then go all in on that and don't try and dilute across many different other areas just in case it doesn't come off. Part of high performance is taking risks and being comfortable with those risks, because the payoff can be huge. Now, of course, the downside equally can be bad. But if you do, I'm not talking about taking risk and gambling. I'm talking about intelligent, investigated, evidence-based decisions that we need to make. But it's much like my Ironman conventional wisdom. Most people advise me on what I should or shouldn't do on Ironman, haven't had the experience of doing that. And most, even our fund managers and people that look after our pensions, they're telling us to diversify, but why would they tell us that? Well, it's probably not in our interest. It's probably more in their interest. Now, it just got me thinking that, you know, if everyone is going one particular way, then I tend to want to go the other way. So I guess that makes me a contrarian, but I'm not a contrarian just for the sake of it. I'm just somebody that looks and listens to what the conventional masses say and think, well, why is that true? Is that true for me? And as I said, with the investing, I didn't think that was true for me, not true for what I want to do, and it's not true for my risk appetite. Yours will be completely different, and your appetite for physical exertion will be different to mine. But I just want to use those two examples about how conventional wisdom isn't always in our best interest. So my conclusions around this are, you know, if the crowd says one thing, I generally do the opposite, and I enjoy being a contrarian, but I'm not a contrarian for contrarian's sake. I'm a contrarian because I just look at what's in front of me, and I look at things differently. And I think that is how I make decisions. I kind of look at different angles, and what's the angle that's not being talked about? But also conclude, I've got to be careful who defines what's possible for me. And I would suggest you need to define, you know, what's possible for you and take advice. Yes, seek counsel, seek, you know, listen to podcasts like this, but reflect on what that means for you and define what's possible for you, not because somebody else has defined it, because haven't got your best interest at heart. You define it. And if it's to go with the crowd, great. If it's not, great. But make sure it's a conscious decision that you have thought about. And finally, really, I think the reflection for this episode around all this talking that I'm doing is that none of us actually know how any of this plays out. Okay. So I think, yeah, whilst the episode is kind of screw conventional wisdom, I think it's probably more about let's take more risks, but let's take calculated risks. You know, I look before I leap. I spot my landing, so I'm thinking about all the different contingencies and things that might play out here. I'm not jumping blindly, but I think we need to make some of these leaps because none of us know how this plays out. None of us know how the markets will play out, and none of us knows what it's like to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Ironman until we actually try that. So whatever it is of your field of endeavor, you know, go your own way. Take the path least traveled. Because quite honestly, we're not here for a particularly long time. And we want to look back on life and think, do you know what? I kind of rinsed life and I took some risks and they didn't pay off. Well, they did pay off, but I did everything on my terms. And I think that's what's one. I'm coming round more and more to that. The older I get, I wouldn't say I'm building up more wisdom, but I'm certainly building up more of an appetite to go my own way and to screw conventional wisdom. So that's... just wanted to commit some of these ideas to this episode, and I sort of hope you appreciate that. But I hope you can just think about, okay, so what things are you doing that are in line with convention, but actually are there other ways that will be better for you and for your loved ones and for your future? So that's it for this episode. Future episodes will be, you know, perhaps a monologue like this, but equally I'm going to get some exciting guests on as we are navigating our way through season 2 here. So thanks very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this one, and I'll see you and speak to you on the next one. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Give Yourself the Chat podcast. I hope you enjoyed this one. Please feel free to explore the back catalogue of some fascinating guests I've had on the show. And if you'd like to suggest somebody that you know that would be a great fit and has got a wonderful story to tell, then please do get in touch. But in the meantime, I hope you find the inner strength and the discipline habits to live a life of high performance.